Good morning, good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to the presentation of the H1 results of CFT Group. We have just uploaded the presentation in respect of the results, so I would suggest to follow some of the slides we have in order to, let's say, to give an update about, let's say, what has been done over the first half of the year of 2020, as well as about the related results. So I would say to skip the first slide about the positioning of CFT. Basically, we have not changed anything in terms of structure. So let's say we are, as everybody probably knows, one of the leading company in the food and the beverage value chain. So this, let's say we are basically operating in three main platform. One is the food platform, the second one is the beverage platform, and the last one is in the non-food platform. I would say this is quite significant for the time being, because, I mean, when we talk about the numbers and the figures, it would be really important to, let's say, to understand the context, especially in the light of the current COVID-19 pandemic, in order to understand how we have tried to face this current challenge. So despite the fact that the mega trends we believe and we feel remain valid in the medium long term, for sure, this COVID-19 pandemic, let's say, emergency, has caused some effects on the food and the beverage sector, especially on some channels for the HoReCa business, that will affect the investment in technologies as well. So, despite the fact the mega trends remain valid and remain, in our opinion, as growing sector, there are some topics that has to be considered in the very short term. Just coming to the slide number six, this remains still valid. So we have the complete line, we have the single machine, and the after sales. Over this 2020, we have tried to be focused on the customer care, so on the after sales, in order to increase as much as possible some of the recurring revenues, in order to face some reduction in the complete line sale and in the single machines. Due to the fact that some investment has been postponed by the customer due to the general uncertainty of the market. So coming to the structure of the group, slide number seven, we have the structure has remained the same. So we have the four main business: food, beverage, liquid food, and non-food. Facility are basically the same. We have faced the latest investments in order to complete some of the investment in the sorting business and in the robotic business, especially in the facility-related investments. But we are talking very of the last part of investment we have already started last year. In terms of technologies, we have decided with this report to be a little bit more precise, trying to split a little bit the results by revenues and EBITDA by technologies, and in identifying three main, let's say, business technologies that are composed by other sub-business technologies. So, the three main technologies we have identified are the processing, that include the primary processing, the secondary processing, and the product treatment. The second business is the packaging, with the blowing, filling, seaming, and robotics, and the last one is sorting with Rizetech. So we have tried to, let's say, to be as much as clear as possible, identifying the main technology platform, the sub-technologies platform, and the brand on which we operate in each, let's say, with the technology related to each platform. We have, on top of that, we have the manufacturing platform that is part of a project we have started over the past years, where we are trying to internalize part of in-source, part of the manufacturing activities with some companies that before were separated company, and now we are working on in continuing the program of acquiring the minority shares of the minority stakeholders and in rationalizing and creating one single company, adding inside all the activities for the manufacturing, all the manufacturing capabilities. So I would say, for example, toolings, for example, carpentries, all the activity of assembly as well, in order to divide a little bit the activities in a different entity, in order to be a little bit more focused and in order to be able to benefit of the economy of scale. So over the 2020, as you probably have already seen in the communication we have done during the year, we have continued, despite the COVID-19 emergency, in acquiring the minority stakes of minority shareholder of this company, in in rationalizing the portfolio of the activities of the manufacturing activities, in order to finalize the project by the year of this end, by the end of this year, with one single entity in Italy and basically one legal entity in Ukraine. The project is still currently ongoing, but we believe to be able to fulfill and to finalize everything by the year end. So coming to the result, H1 2020 financial result, slide number 9, revenues has dropped for the 121 million euro of last year, H1 2019, to 102 million euro, so basically with a difference of 19 million euro, with a drop of 16% in terms of in percentage. This sales and the volumes reduction for sure has been due to the current COVID-19 effect, especially with different effects in the different business where we are in. Especially, we have experienced a decrease mainly in the sorting and the packaging divisions. So these are the two areas where we have been more affected under the revenue standpoint. In the processing, we have seen a quite significant reduction in the business of the fruit and vegetable, which has been partially offset by the growth of the milk and dairy. So at the end of the day, we have tried in the processing to apply the technology that we have within the group to different business, to different applications. So the application of the milk and dairy for sure are less core for us than fruit and vegetable and tomato, but we have worked on this kind of, application of our technology that we have already in-house in order to be able to offset a little bit the drop of the sales. The packaging division, especially as mentioned, has been quite significantly impacted by the effect of the COVID-19, especially on some non-food area. For example, we are in the lubricating oil business, which has seen some of the projects being suspended, and due to the fact that especially in the Middle East, in the Indian area as well, they've been affected by a very strong lockdown. So all the investment on the lubricating oil has been, for the time being, has been suspended, as well as in the food and the beverage sector, especially when we are talking about the HoReCa channel, business distribution channel. So that's, for sure, has seen a quite significant drop, due to the lockdown that we have seen in the different countries, and this kind of general uncertainty has generated an investment reduction in our customers. So I believe it's important to understand that around the 30 or the 40% of the market of our customer is more or less focused on the HoReCa business, HoReCa distribution channel. And therefore, a stop in the HoReCa channel for sure would impact the investments related to this area. Last but not least, we have tried due to the reduction in the volumes of the machines. On the other end, we have worked on the cost reduction in order to face the current situation, and on the after sales revenues. In this case, we have experienced a growth that we can consider of around, with an impact in the half year result of around 2 million euros in terms of revenues, basically shifting from 24.5 million euros to 26.5 million euros, so with a growth of around 8%. As you probably know, the after sales business is one part of our business is quite recurring, with an increase that with the CAGR over the past, I would say, 7-8 years of 5% on a yearly basis, 4-5% of a yearly basis. So basically, this is basically due on one end to the installed base that basically is increasing on a yearly basis due to the sales of the plants, of the machines and the plants, and that's the first. And the second one, to the action that we are taking as preventive and predictive maintenance on our plants. So with the increase in the after sales, for sure is a business recurring with high profitability, we have been, together with the cost reduction of the indirect cost especially, we have been able to, let's say, mitigate the risk and to mitigate the result of the, let's say, the reduction in sales volumes. In terms of export, we are around 90% still generated abroad. So the geographical the fact that our revenues are spread out on different geographies is still one of the mitigation risk mitigation possibility of mitigate say the risk of sales reduction as well. Coming up the next slide, slide number 10, we can see the structure and the split of the sales of the revenues in H1 2019, H1 2020. So as mentioned before, the sorting business has remained more or less in percentage with the same weight on the total amount, even though in relative terms has dropped from 12.6 to 9.8, around 10 million euro revenue. So basically, this has for sure driven a quite significant impact on the EBITDA due to the fact that the sorting business is a quite high profitability business. So the reduction in sales has for sure has driven a corresponding reduction in the EBITDA that would be quite easy to look at in the following slides. Having said that, it's important just to, as a note, we are talking of figures related to third parties' revenues, so not aggregate but consolidated revenues. So we have basically, in this case, we have basically having an impact in terms of sales reduction in sorting of 2.8 million euro with an impact on the BDA around 1 million euro. With respect to the manufacturing here, we have indicated only the part of the business of the revenues that we we are facing towards external customers, not the revenues consolidate. So the say, the revenues that CFT Group can generate for the other company of the group. So the weight is around a couple of percent. So this is the part of the manufacturing towards third party, around 2.3 million euro. And then we have the processing and the packaging, which accounts respectively 45% and 43% of the total revenue. So we are accounting for 46 million euro and 45 million euro each of the two businesses. So at the end of the day, if we look at the split of the revenues in the 2 years, more or less the split remain in terms of weight, more or less the same. In the day, we can only see a reduction in the packaging, as mentioned before, and let's say, and in the processing as well. In terms of geography, as you can see in the following slides, as confirmed, our sales are more or less spread out in all over the world. For sure, there is no specific trend due to the fact that, let's say, our projects are more or less related to the different, are not recurring. So at the end of the day, is just the meaning of that is that basically we are, let's say, we are present in the different countries with a coverage that can mitigate in a certain kind the geographical risk as well. Where for sure the America still remain around 10%, especially we are in the beer sector, and in the Africa market as well, we are present due to the fact that we are in the tomato business. Coming to the EBITDA, the H1 2020 EBITDA is around 6 million euro. EBITDA adjusted in reduction to the EBITDA of last year, let's say of 22.7%, was basically caused by different factors. So, the difference is around 1.8 million, 7.8 million euro last year, 6 million euro this year, which are the main drivers of this reduction. For sure, the reduction of sales volume in the sorting division, which has dropped the EBITDA from the 18.4% to 13.1%. So this has had an impact of around 1 million euro. The reduction of the sales volume in the processing division from 6.2 up to 4.8. So in the processing division, we have been able, on one end, we've been able to, let's say, offset and to mitigate the product mix between the fruit and vegetable and the milk and dairy, but still we experienced some sales volume, therefore we have had an impact on the EBITDA as well. Last but not least, about the, let's say, the packaging, on the packaging side, comparing the EBITDA of last year and the EBITDA of this year, we are more or less on the same numbers, despite notwithstanding the significant drop in the sales volume, due to the fact that we have tried to optimize the cost, to reduce the cost in the light of the COVID-19 emergency first, and the second one on the impact on the after sales, where we have experienced an increase in comparison with last year. So that's these two factors as offset partially the impact of the reduction in sales. I would say that I think it would be important to to focus on the fact that within the EBITDA of the packaging is included a loss of 1 million euro in respect of the EBITDA of PKS, the company, the Spanish company of the group that is focused on palletizers, the palletizers on the end of the line. The reason of this loss is basically related to the fact that we have started up this project last year, over the past couple of years. So as per today, PKS has suffered a lot due to the internal market, the Spanish market that has been quite significantly impacted by the COVID-19, first of all, and the second one, that we have experienced a quite significant drop in the packaging line and the CFT. So the end of the line, palletizer and the palletizer, that are a part of the complete line, have suffered as well due to the reduction in the intercompany sales. So that's, let's say, that's the situation as per today. So if we would have taken out the result, the negative result of PKS in H1 2020, let's say the EBITDA margin would have risen to 6.1% from the 3.9% of last year. And last but not least, as already mentioned, there are two effects, the positive impact of the after sales and the reduction of the indirect cost. Notwithstanding the efforts we have taken in order to, say, to mitigate the risk, at the end of the day, we have resulted with a negative result of €2.3 million. Coming to the next slides, I think it would be quite interesting to see the difference between H1 2019 and H1 2020 in terms of weight of the different businesses. In this respect, I would say that we have added up this information that was never disclosed before in the light of transparency and in the light of, let's say, clearly express and to clearly they communicate how our business is built up and which are the main contributors in, let's say, in the profitability of the company. So first of all, as you can see, manufacturing, the weight of the manufacturing is shifted from H1 2019 from to H1 2020, from 13% to 17%. So this is the average weight of the EBITDA, which account around €1 million in absolute number. This is not only related. This is not only related to the sales to third party, but this include the EBITDA impact also of the activity within the group. Secondly, we have the processing. Processing has dropped from the €3.1 million to the €2.2 million, so from 39% to 36% on the total amount. So with a reduction, as mentioned before, we have not been able to offset the fruit and vegetable business with the milk and dairy and the other business we are basically already part of our portfolio. The packaging has shifted from €1.4 million to €1.6 million. So in terms of weight, from 18% to 26% due to the effect that we have mentioned before, and finally sorting from the 30% up to 21% with a drop from €2.3 million to €1.3 million. As last point, I would like to point out that especially for the sorting business, the reduction has been especially driven by the impact that COVID-19 has had on the fresh cut business, especially for all that is related to the salad business, especially fresh salad business, which has experienced a quite significant a reduction for our customers. Therefore, majority of the investment has been currently suspended. So we believe that this is just, let's say, a temporary impact, a temporary reduction. We have to say that the Reitec has partially offset the reduction in the fresh cut with an increase of other business as well, but for sure is not been able to grow in comparison with the H1 2019. Coming to the net financial position, next slide. The final net financial position is around 56.8 million euro, including the IFRS 16 effect of 7 million of 17 million. So we have experienced an increase from the 43.3 million as per year end 2019, including the IFRS 16 effect as well. The main drivers of this change are basically summarized as follows. We have had a net positive operating cash flow generation of a couple of millions. We have had a negative cash effect related to the working capital management for 9 million, that basically due to the fact that some of the machines and the project in some cases has been, let's say, has been postponed in terms of delivery due to the COVID-19 emergency. So basically the cash in has been postponed in the second half of the year. That's the first. The second one, we have not cashed part of the commissioning, so the part of the commissioning of the project, due to the fact that we have not been able to fulfill the commissioning activities. Therefore, we believe to be able in the second half of the year to reduce the absorption of the working capital and to get this normalized. We have had investments in tangible and intangible assets for around 5 million euro, mainly due to some residual investments in the robotics and sorting division, especially for the facility of Reitec that we have finished up and the facility of PKS in Spain as well. So we have closed the last part of the investments. And finally, we have had the acquisition of the minority stakes in Levati, some treasury shares, and at the end of the day, we have accounted for around 1 million euro for that kind of additional stuff. So looking at the breakdown, as you can see in the following slide, the effect has been clearly split up with a clear indication of the breakdown and the bridge between the year end 2019 and the end of June 2020. With respect to the year end, we expect to have an improvement due to the fact that first of all there will be more cash generation in the second half of the year than in the first half, due to the fact that we will have part of the revenues, a significant part on the revenues in the second half of the year. The second one is related to the investment. So the majority of the investment we have had in the first half, and basically in the second half we expect minor investment in order to take into account that we have basically finished up the investment on the facility. And last but not least, with respect to the working capital, we expect a reduction of the absorption that we have experienced in the first half of the year. Therefore, we expect to come up with a net financial position of around 50 million euro, including IFRS 16 as per year end. That's the situation as per end of June. Couple of notes about the outlook for 2020, because in business like the business where CFT operates, the H1 result is only a limited picture of the situation, but we believe it's important to give an idea and an outlook of the full year result, due to the fact that part of the project are already let's say, currently ongoing. Therefore, we have an idea of the final results. So we believe that the revenues will be in between €225-230 million. So with the reduction in comparison with last year of around €20-25 million, as per consensus that has been, let's say, distributed over the past month, we forecast an EBITDA margin adjusted of around 6%. That basically is due to the sum of the effects that I have explained over the current presentation. And we can say divide and split the main drivers in three main topics. The first one, in terms of organization, we have continued integration activities on the corporate and sales structure. That's the first. The second one, we are trying to face the COVID-19 challenges in order to minimize the impact on the revenues and the order intakes. On the other hand, we have worked on the cost-saving side and industrial sales development in order to reduce the cost and to increase the revenues of the recurring sales with a high profitability. And last but not least, in the development of the operational excellence of the manufacturing technology in order to rationalize all the activities that we have within the group. That's because we believe that the possibility of increasing the saturation of the manufacturing facility would provide an additional benefit in terms of the EBITDA margin to the group profitability as well. With respect to the investments, we have kept investments as limited as possible due to the fact that, notwithstanding the fact that some of the investments were anyway due to the fact that we needed some investment in order to complete part of the facility was absolutely needed, and we were obliged to finalize this kind of topics. But on the other hand, now the main focus is on leveraging on the investments we have done in 2018 and 2019 in order to support the future growth. At the end of the day, in terms of business trends, we can sort out the main trends in the three main business we are. So with respect to the sourcing, as mentioned before, we expect a down due to the COVID-19 on the fresh cut. With respect to the processing, the tomato is still expected stable on the low-end business cycle as per 2019. And finally, with respect to the milk and dairy, we expect a growth in order to mitigate the down in the other sector as well. With respect to the packaging, on one end, we have already experienced a benefit coming from the growth on the robotics application, and on the other way around, we are looking at the business and we are quite positive on the fact that this application will grow at a pace that probably would be higher than the pace of the other mature technologies. That's the first. The second one, we expect a down, so we expect still an impact due to the COVID-19 issue on the HoReCa-related investments, especially for the beer in keg, where basically the main customer are the big multinational, whose market are the beer, the restaurant, the pub, the restaurant, and let's say hotels. So, I mean, in case the lockdown of some country will continue, for sure, some impact we expect still in the numbers for that kind of business. Coming to the next slide, to the last one. Here you can find a forecast of the revenues by product, and out of this picture, all what I have explained over the past slide, in my opinion, would be really clear. So as you can see, the tomato business will remain more or less stable. So here we are looking at the percentage. If we look at the situation in the absolute term, basically we remain more or less on the same level. We have experienced a drop in the fruit and the vegetables, as mentioned before, due to the reduction and to the impact on the fresh cut. Beer business is more or less in line in absolute term between 2019 and 2020. We expect there could be an impact related to the HoReCa business probably for 2021, but still too early to be evaluated. Let's say, in terms of absolute value, we have experienced a growth in the beverage, especially in the beverage of in packaging beverage, due to some of the investment that has been finalized in 2020, but were negotiated before, let's say, the COVID emergency. With respect to the dairy, as mentioned before, in absolute term, we have had a significant growth of around 10 million euros. So the weight has increased from 2019 and 2020. On the other end, the edible oil has dropped from the 7% to 4%. That's especially due to the fact that the Spanish market has stopped some of the investment, and Spain is one of the main markets for oil. That's the first. And the second one, and the HoReCa business, especially for oil, for example, for say for the canteen or for some for the hotels and the restaurants, has have an impact on the investment that were related to the HoReCa business channel. The increase in the other food from the 4% to 8%, that in absolute term means around 8 million euro, is more or less related to the robotics application that we have sold in other business that basically were not part of, let's say, our core business, like, for example, the pet food, where we have sold some of the application of, or some robotics application. So that has driven an increase in other food as well that has contributed in offsetting the reduction in sales in the core, in some of the core business, as well as in the non-food from the 5% to 1%, as mentioned before, especially for the lubricating oil business, where we have seen some of the investment to be postponed to the following years. And therefore, there would be an impact on the year end as well. So let's say this is more or less a summary of the trend we are looking at the market right now and the impact that we forecast on the 2020 revenues for the entire CFT group, including the business and the technologies as well. I think I have finished up the presentation. I remain available for any further question on each topic we have discussed so far.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. The first question is Giancarlo Maritano with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I have a couple of questions. The first one is on the order intake. I was curious to know about the order intake in the summer months. Are you experiencing some pickup compared to the previous months, or is it too soon to see a recovery in terms of orders? The second one is related to the geography breakdown of your revenues. Which are the areas that are performing better in this at this moment, and which are the areas that are the most concerning one? The final question is on investments. So you said that in the second half of this year, the investments will be quite a low level. I was curious about next year's, so 2021 and 2022. What do you expect? You expect to remain at the level of this year or to go back to the level of the past year? So which one is a level that you consider sustainable in the medium long term? Thank you.
Thank you. So for question is about the order intake. Frankly speaking, during the summer months, we have experienced a quite significant order intake, especially in June, July, and August, where we have had an order intake of around 15, 20 million euro on a monthly basis. That's for sure a positive information. On the other hand, I would say that for the following month, due to the uncertainty that we have in the market, especially with the lockdown that we are looking at in Europe, for example, I mean, we are, let's say, in position of not being able to predict what will happen over the next month, because some of the projects that probably were, let's say, were quite close to be finalized could be eventually postponed. That's, I think, do not depend. This doesn't depend on us as well. But let's say, if I have to summarize, the summer months have been quite good under the business on the business standpoint. Let's say, as per today, there is still some uncertainty. The projects are there, so they are the projects, so there is the possibility to get this done, but we see some uncertainty at what level. So let's say I would be, let's say, so that is the feeling I have as per today. That's the first question. Second question about the geography. For sure, we can say that United States has been one of the markets where we have seen a good performance over the past month, probably due to the fact that the customer has received money from the government to be spent in investments. So that's for sure, independently from the COVID-19 emergency, has driven the interest in new investments. So that's positive. On the other way around, for the first, the second one, we have seen some positive investment from China as well. That basically where the business seems to be recovered after the lockdown they have had. For the time being, we see a little bit reluctant to start with investment in the European country, especially the Central European countries. France, Spain as well. That's the first, and the Middle East is still, let's say, is still on the low end of their economy. So part to the fact that they have experienced some lockdown as well, and part due to the fact that let's say the market is really competitive. So I would say that if I have to summarized about the countries, about the geography, let's say United States, fine. Say Russia, fine, because we have some investments as well. And China, fine. Let's say some uncertainty on some other areas as per the time being. Even though, for example, in the Middle East, we are negotiating some projects, so we are not saying that there are not projects. That probably there is less incentive to get this closed in a very short time. Last question about the investments. As mentioned during the past call, we have basically finalized the most important investments in supporting the growth of our technological and business platform over the past couple of years. So we do not believe that will be necessary investments, heavy investments for the next year, 2021, 2020. So just to give you another magnitude, we believe that as tangible and intangible investments, we will stay in around of 4 million euro on, let's say, 4 or 5 maximum million euro on a yearly basis. And for sure, we depend on the short-term situation as well. But independent from that, under the strategic standpoint, we do not need further investments as already done over the past couple of years.
Very clear. Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. There is no question at the moment. This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Alessandro Merusi for any closing remarks.
Alessandro, do you have any closing remarks regarding the presentation?
No, I think we have discussed of all the topics inside, so for sure,
exactly.
For any further questions, we are available.
Perfect. So thanks to everybody to be with us today, and speak to you next time.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
Thank you, bye.
Bye. Thank you.
The conference call has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.